The moment Tom first saw Daisy at age 4, he knew she was special, a golden-haired angel who made his knees weak. But beneath his seemingly innocent crush lurked disturbing thoughts. While other boys collected baseball cards, Tom preserved Valentine's notes from Daisy in plastic sleeves, building a shrine to his obsession. Most chilling was his confession. His greatest fear wasn't rejection, but that if they were finally alone, he might wrap his fingers around her pretty white neck and squeeze the life out of her. This duality defines Tom, a young man fighting his own nature while being drawn to violence. During quiet moments in class, he sketches detailed anatomical drawings in his notebook margins. When he finally kisses Daisy, he notices how delicate she is and thinks disturbingly that he could easily break her neck with a twist. His attempts to channel these impulses into medical studies only provide him with more detailed knowledge of human fragility. Can someone overcome their darkest impulses? Is Tom's attraction to vulnerability innate, or was it shaped by his violent home environment? His father's history of domestic abuse and his mother's enabling behavior suggest environmental factors. Yet, Tom's obsession began before he could fully comprehend these influences. His leather-bound journal, his confession box, reveals someone desperately trying to understand his own nature. Sydney's dating life is a comedy of errors. Her latest cinch match, Kevin, displays every red flag, criticizing her appearance, pitching a pyramid scheme, and taking his mother's call during dinner. When Kevin becomes aggressive after rejection, the awkward date turns threatening. A mysterious stranger intervenes, allowing Sydney to escape. This mystery man, incredibly attractive with thick black hair, intense coal black eyes, and a strong jaw, creates immediate chemistry, but walks away without asking for her contact information. The encounter seems straight from the romance novel Sydney loves. What she doesn't realize is that she's in a psychological thriller, where such coincidences should trigger alarm rather than romantic hope. Sydney's bleeding disorder, von Willebrand disease, adds another vulnerability as she bleeds excessively from minor cuts. This condition serves as both plot device and metaphor for her emotional vulnerability, foreshadowing how this physical weakness becomes significant in her relationship with Tom, who harbors a disturbing fascination with blood. Tom's childhood home was a battlefield. His alcoholic father regularly returned drunk, leaving his mother with injuries she attributed to accidents. This environment shaped Tom's understanding of power and relationships. The turning point came when Tom confronted his father with a fire poker after witnessing an attack. His father disarmed him, drew blood with the poker, and threatened to kill him. This humiliating defeat revealed Tom's powerlessness while fueling his determination. When Tom finally acted, he stabbed his father with a steak knife, then cut his throat. His reaction was chilling. "I feel no remorse. He deserved to die." Even more disturbing, "What disturbs me is how much I enjoyed watching him die, one of the best moments of my life." Tom's friend Slug emerged as an even darker influence, suggesting killing wasn't wrong if you don't get caught. This casual approach revealed Slug as someone without moral boundaries, foreshadowing worse to come. The discovery of Bonnie's brutally murdered body transforms the story from romance to thriller. Sydney finds her friend in a horrific scene that will haunt her forever. The investigation brings Detective Jake Sosa, Sydney's ex-boyfriend, back into her life, creating a complicated dynamic where their personal history intersects with the murder case. Jake reveals disturbing details. Bonnie had been dating someone special, a doctor she'd become exclusive with, who texted her from a burner phone, suggesting deception. This plants the first seed of suspicion about Tom, though Sydney doesn't connect the dots yet. Later, Jake shares that Bonnie's murder matches another case from 18 months ago. Both victims dated on cinch, with the killer taking locks of their hair as souvenirs. This confirms they're dealing with a serial killer with specific rituals. The investigation creates tension as Sydney begins dating Tom, unaware of his possible connection to the murders. This dual narrative, Sydney falling in love while Jake hunts a murderer, builds suspense as these storylines inevitably converge. As Sydney grows closer to Tom, discrepancies surface. When an elderly woman calls him Dr. Brewer instead of Brown, he dismisses it as mishearing. Sydney later discovers he works at Mount Sinai Hospital, not NYU as claimed. Google reveals Thomas Brewer has impressive Cornell and Penn credentials. He's a doctor, but one who lied about his identity. Tom's behavior becomes increasingly suspect. He reacts with alarm at the suggestion of meeting his visiting lover. When Sydney's text doesn't make his phone buzz, he claims unconvincingly it's his work phone. Finding Bonnie's scrunchie under Tom's nightstand confirms Sydney's fears. Tom was Bonnie's mystery boyfriend. She also discovers a burner phone he uses only for communicating with her. When Jake tests Tom's fingerprints from a water bottle, they match those found in both victims' apartments. Yet Tom has an airtight alibi for Bonnie's murder, hospital work verified by witnesses and cameras. This contradiction deepens the mystery. If Tom didn't kill these women, why conceal his relationship with Bonnie? The novel's twist reveals that Gretchen, Sydney's neighbor, is actually Daisy Tom's supposedly dead high school girlfriend who's been stalking and killing women he gets close to. She infiltrated their lives through Bonnie's yoga class and by moving in with Randy to access their building. Gretchen stabs Randy repeatedly, planning to frame him for all murders and make Sydney his final victim before killing him in self-defense. When Tom begs her to get help, Gretchen exposes his disturbing secret. He's attracted to Sydney because he loves watching her bleed, connecting to Sydney's bleeding disorder and revealing Tom's blood fascination. As police approach, Gretchen suggests they flee together. Despite everything, Tom admits he can't live without her. When she moves to kill Sydney, Tom stops her, making her promise no more killing as his condition for leaving. When she asks, even if they deserve it, he ominously replies, well, that's different. A month after the climactic events, Gretchen and Tom remain missing despite an extensive manhunt. Evidence from Gretchen's house, hair strands matching DNA from multiple unsolved murders, confirmed she was the serial killer. Sydney has found comfort with Jake, who has become protective, installing security measures in case they come back. The novel's most chilling twist comes when Sydney receives an envelope with a lock of dirty blonde hair, a blood-red ribbon, and an unsigned note in Tom's handwriting. Sydney, Kevin won't be bothering you ever again. Tom and Gretchen have clearly made Sydney's aggressive former date their latest victim. Despite her ethical obligations, Sydney discards the envelope, becoming complicit. This morally complex choice mirrors Tom's earlier compromises. Sydney, who once judged Tom harshly, now makes similar choices when threatened. Has Sydney's experience altered her moral compass? As she prepares for dinner with Jake while harboring evidence of murder, Sydney unwittingly echoes Tom's relationship with Daisy, suggesting ethical compromise perpetuates across relationships.